The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men. The Gift of Knowledge.
You're doing well on your silence. Keep it up. Remember, silence is selective conversation. And in the retreat, choose to talk as much as you can with the Lord. And notice it is talking with Him. He is always speaking to us. Unfortunately, we are not always speaking to Him. Our present meditation is the gift of knowledge. You might wonder why we're spending so much time, to be exact, four meditations, the first four gifts of the Holy Spirit, all dealing with the mind. And the reason should be obvious. The mind is the foundation of everything in our lives. We can choose only what the mind tells us is worth choosing. Our actions depend on our choices. Our choices depend on our thoughts. But our will, though we've said it is a blind faculty, has great power over the mind. The gift of knowledge, as we know, is the third of the gifts of the Holy Spirit for enlightening our minds. Knowledge gives us a correct understanding of creatures in their relationship to God. There's a big difference between the gift of understanding and the gift of knowledge. The gift of understanding is the gift that penetrates into the meaning of what we believe, in how we need to grow in our grasp of what we believe. The gift of knowledge, however, is understanding indeed, but not our revealed truths, but rather how we are to use God's revealed truth in our lives. And consequently, to, if not define, at least describe the gift of knowledge. It is, as all the gifts are, an inclination. An inclination we receive from the Holy Spirit to understand indeed, understand the truth of our faith, and they are related to the creatures that are part of our daily life. You might say the gift of understanding concentrates on the heart of our faith. The gift of knowledge concentrates on the how of our faith. In other words, I am to practice charity. But dear Lord, how do I practice charity? And as St. Teresa of Avila wrote, her spiritual life is in many ways conditioned by the weather outside. It is dull, bleak, dreary, raining, our emotions are affected accordingly. Maha, the living our spiritual life, is of the essence of this precious gift of knowledge. On the premise we've just described, knowledge then inclines us to see how creatures, first of all, come from God. We don't need any special gift to see all the things we like. All the present creatures in our lives come from God. We sing the praises of God. Hallelujah. Let God send us, and He does, send us what we do not naturally like. To see how the creatures come from God. I've said this, I'm sure, more than once. I just began teaching in high school in Cincinnati as a Jesuit scholastic. And I was given 4 classes of ancient history. First thing I had to learn is how to spell Babylonia, Assyria, Chalcedon. I was in obedience to teach the subject. My students, 4 classes of freshmen, they were bored. So was I. But I couldn't show my boredom. They did. 2 weeks after beginning teaching, they reported to my spiritual father. How are things going? Great. I love teaching. But those bums in class, they couldn't care less. They don't pay attention. They're talking. Don't do their homework. I've said this, I'm sure, more than once. Johnny told me, "Why don't you start meditating 1 hour each morning before Mass? Meditating on those bums in class. Tell our Lord what you think of them." The door was closed. I'm not exaggerating. I spoke out loud. And the secret was to find out, "Lord, you want me to teach these fellows 2 semesters of ancient history? What is this gift of knowledge? It is the gift of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to see how everything in our lives is a grace from God." I don't want to unnecessarily repeat myself. One thing this gift of knowledge teaches us: there are pleasant graces and there are painful graces. But the secret is to see them as graces, no matter how unpleasant, painful, annoying, and disagreeable they may be. The gift of knowledge provides us with the grace we need to see that there is no such thing as coincidence in our lives. I keep repeating because I know how much I need it. Everything in our lives is part of God's providence. And the word is everything. The gift of knowledge provides us, and notice, with the inclination to see every pleasure, every pain, every thought, every desire, every person, and what we call a happening as part of the providence of God. I can be very open. I still watch my vocabulary. Lord, I've asked you more than once. Having decided to become a priest and religious, why did you ever give me the inclination to join the Society of Jesus? I think I've shared this with you. He lost 15,000 Jesuits since the Second Vatican Council. One of our Jesuit universities after another. Big, bright, Catholic name. I wish these universities were Catholic in reality. But as I look back, though I can speak from experience, things I could never have done in God's mysterious providence, unless I had been, and with God's grace remained, a member of the Society of Jesus. The years, 31 years of formal academic training, as we sing in all, Mamma Mia. But I'm still learning how we need those who have a better than average mind, who had above average education, to cope with the demonic power of brilliant minds alienated from God, who are seducing all nations from Christianity. I hope I'm clear. We go on. What exactly is this gift of knowledge? This gift of knowledge is not only for ourselves, but also for others. How to help others, so not only we, but they may know how to deal, they in turn, how to deal with others. And those others, how to deal with still others. And those others, to deal with still other others. Because among the creatures, now the gift of knowledge provides us with supernatural intuition, is how to see in every human being that enters our lives a person whom God wants to obtain from us what we need. Every person entering our lives is in need. And there is no deeper need of the human heart than to know how shall I use the verb to cope with what we casually and mistakenly call problems. My friend, there are no problems in our lives. Do you hear that? What we call problems are all acts of God's providence. some things I keep repeating because they're so important. We have a problem in quotation marks. You're not a problem. Ask God to let you know what He wants. There's really only one problem to justify that word. And the problem is, how do I submit my will to the will of God? Hope I'm clear. We have a problem. Unquote. We pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? And whatever else you gain from this retreat, in the name of our Lord, who is here and exposed in the Blessed Sacrament, find out from Him what He wants you to do in the days, weeks, and years still left you here in this valley of tears. How lynx-eyed we can be in knowing what others should do. But how blind, as Christ tells us, how purblind, that's spelled P-U-R, blind, how purblind we can be in not seeing what God wants me to do. Ask Him. You've prayed, you find out. You still have a problem. You're scared. Oh, Lord. Not that. Yes, my dear. I want you to do that. You pray again. I'm talking from experience. I'm not exaggerating. These meditations are so many chapters of my autobiography. Pray now again. Pray for the grace, the strength to do what your mind and might know by God tells you you should do. Knowledge enables us to see everything from the viewpoint of God. There's leading us, and I've underlined, double underlined, the word mysteriously to our eternal destiny. And I mean mysteriously. We define a mystery as that which is rationally inconceivable, for God reveals it. And secondly, a mystery is rationally incomprehensible. Even after we know what the mystery is, don't try to comprehend the depth of God's dealings in your life. And I keep repeating to one audience after another, ask God only two questions. What did He want you to do, and how did He want you to do it? Don't you dare ask Him why. All we need to know, that's all, is what He wants and how He wants it. Believe me, God's providence is profoundly mysterious. And that means rationally incomprehensible. I've had both wives and husbands come to me, pardon me, individually. A wife, married, say, 20 years. Father, I cannot, understand why I ever married this man. Your husband. It's my husband. Don't try to understand. It's a mystery. I lose. Same question. When my father died when I was a year old, having dated a wonderful girl for the 4 years of college, I think I've told you, when I first met her, her name was Josephine. She called herself Jo, my first letter, Dear Joe. I'm going to write back, Dear Joe, please learn how to spell my name. It's J-O, not J-O-E. You husbands, do not try to comprehend your wives. They are a mystery. Am I clear? This gift of knowledge enables us to distinguish among the creatures which ones, and then that quadrat, which ones we are to enjoy, which ones we are to endure, which ones we are to get rid of, and which ones we are to sacrifice. As I've told some of you more than once, please don't tell your wives after this retreat, Jean, I've learned something wonderful. You are the creature in my life that God wants me to endure. This gift of knowledge enables us to make a daily inventory of our lives, which I strongly recommend. Before you retire, make an inventory of the creature that God has put into your life, and how have you dealt with them. In our lives on earth, we being creatures ourselves, and everyone who has our lives is a creature. But remember, a creature placed into our lives precisely at the time in the way in which God the Creator wants this creature to enter my life. Have we responded to the creatures in a given day according to the will of God? We go on. Is the gift of knowledge important? It is indispensable. The gift of knowledge gives us the light we need to be, hear the word, detached from creatures. And this terrible English language, you separate one paper from another, you detach it. Something is stuck, you detach it. In the vocabulary of our faith, detachment is treating creatures in our lives as only a means to an end. And by end, and again, the English language of ours, the primary meaning of end is purpose. Do you hear me? The end of this roster. end of this table. I repeat, the principal meaning of end is purpose. No creature, no alliance, is to be an end in itself. And detachment from creatures means just that. I treat every creature in my life as only a means to an end. And that end is capitalized. That end is God. How necessary is this gift of knowledge? Is the gift we need to see our lives from the perspective of God. I go on. This gift of knowledge is the instinctive, supernaturally instinctive ability to sift what is good from what is bad. To sift from the creatures in our lives which ones are useful and which ones are useless. To sift, I repeat, with supernatural ability, what creatures in our lives are helpful and which ones are harmful. Whatever you do before this week ends, be sure to sift out the creatures in your life. What reading is good? What reading is bad? What persons are useful? What people in our lives are useless? And watch it. And the more generous we are, the more charitable we want to be, hear it. I'm talking from experience. The more people will impose on you. Am I clear? There was such a thing as being used by others. Oh, what sifting we need to do. The sifting I have to do. And I'm sure I've said it again more than once. I get all kinds of telephone calls. And now I have two phones. One is strictly private phone, and becoming more and more public every week. In other words, a more public telephone. But both phones are allowed to ring and record. When I make appointments for a person to call me, then more than once, call me at 4 p.m. The phone rings. Somebody else that I made the appointment with calls. I'm not sure you all need it. Some of you may. Learn how to terminate a telephone call kindly, charitably, but firmly. I wouldn't dare say this in the first retreat I gave this week, especially from women. Oh, God bless them. I get a call. I see this will be 3 minutes. No more. 3 minutes over. The conversation just began. One more minute. I give you my blessing. Just one single minute more. And I cannot think of anything in all our lives. We must exercise his gift of knowledge more courageously than in the use of our time. I hope I'm clear. We speak of time-saving devices. We save time for what? To waste more time in other ways. I'm sure you know what the word agenda means. Well, we need to restore Latin in our society.